from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the rewrap. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB this Wednesday in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, why are purchases made online from overseas not subject to GST? We're still asking. And Mike's frustrated over emissions trading. And he's also got a little bit of Christmas tree frustration to work through as well. But first up, what is this shonky parental leave thing that National got up to yesterday?
They had a sort of dragged, kicking and screaming feel about their approach to it all. But the idea, as put forward, as Machiavellian as it might have been, given the Labour Party have walked right into the trap, is actually a good one. Because it's about choice. And who is against choice? Well, the Labour Party, as it turns out, they blocked the move for no other reason than they have decided it would be not a good idea for your baby. They argue that if you and Dad or you and Mum take the time together, you will have less time with baby, and that is detrimental to its future. Simple question. Who the hell are they to tell us what's good for our kids? And given the answer is obvious, we see our clearest example yet of ideology overriding and overruling any form of common sense. The limousine left has always been this way, and ultimately it proves their undoing. Go back in time, third term, last time they're in office, 2007. They came out with their infamous showerhead pressure thinking. Remember that? They were going to regulate water pressure in your shower. A government was telling you how much water you could have. It wasn't the single thing that saw them swept out of office, but it came on top of a bunch of other mad stuff that ultimately led to an overwhelming view that control freaks are not our cup of tea. And here we are all these years later, and they haven't learnt a thing. In a poll with the question, who is it that's more qualified to decide what's best for your new baby, how many would say the government? Did you come up with zero as well? I did. And yet here they are using our money to boost paid parental leave while at the same time telling us how to live our lives and how to raise our kids. The fact they didn't join the dots on this is beyond belief. Whether it was a trap laid by the Nats or a genuine offer doesn't matter now because it's gone, but the fact they didn't get it and walked blindly into it, proving they've learnt nothing from their previous foray into finger wagging, is something that will come back to haunt.
Now, I want you to make note of that finger wagging line because it might come back to haunt Mike later on in the morning. Don't say you weren't warned if you don't follow along the plot of this podcast carefully. Meanwhile, we've got questions being asked about online GST as well.
It is simply irrefutably unfair that I can buy a T-shirt online from Taiwan 15% cheaper than I can buy the thing locally. The argument has always been that it's fiddly, that collecting a lot of small amounts is too complex and too detailed for the government to contemplate. And yet Australia seems to have answered the question. If they can do it, why can't we? And more importantly, why aren't we? I mean, as big a fan as I am of the net, of choice on the net, of the world now being at my front door because of the net, there is some sort of obligation, whether it be moral or patriotic, to at least in some way help protect our local retailer. It's not like we don't like to shop locally, for goodness sake. Every time an H&M opens its doors or a new mall, the queues go for miles. Go to any major retail outlet or mall on the weekend. The places are packed and spending continues to rise year in, year out. But all a local operator can possibly ask is for fairness. And how is it logical that we would deny them that? Amazon and its ilk is no friend of New Zealand or indeed any local retailer. They're out to destroy them. In an open and free market, they should never be prevented from operating, of course, but equally, they should never be given an unfair advantage. Local retailers, whether bricks and mortar, online, or both, should never have had to have mounted this argument over GST in the first place. I mean, part of the pushback has come from the Grinches who go, oh, look, we lack choice, we're overpriced, the service is rubbish, hence they shop online internationally. Some of that may be true in some cases, but in most it's not. But that still doesn't rub out the simple unfairness of having some poor, locally owned mum and dad operator having to suck up a 15% loss every time they try and turn a sale. Australia, as much as it pains me to say, especially given how we have them on the ropes these days in so many areas of life, look like they're leading the way on this, and there is simply no excuse.
Yeah, we don't want Australians beating us at anything. I mean, even something as boring as taxing stuff we buy from overseas on the internet. Now, what if it's actually, now that I think about it, some things you buy on Wish, they're actually free and you only pay the shipping. How does that work? Anyway, questions for another time. Something else that Mike was exercised about this morning was emissions trading, where the money goes.
Labor's going to fix it all, of course. They're going to put the farmers into the ETS. So basically, it's just a tax. Am I thick? Because here's your thing. So you put your farmers in the ETS along with all the other people in the ETS, the emissions trading scheme, and you taxed. And the tax goes where to do what and achieve what? No one's. I've asked this question before and no one's able to answer it. The $1.4 billion that we pay each year by signing the Paris Climate Accord, where does it go? Literally, where does it go? Into whose bank account does it go? And then what do they do with that money that saves the world? Can anyone, just a singular person, answer me that particular question? I just get slightly frustrated at people like him from far parts of Europe who spend their life in cloistered environs and pick up the phone and tell us what to do.
So the general theme of the morning, as you can hear, is Mike's a little bit concerned about Labor bossing us around a little bit more in our everyday lives. But it sounds like our everyday lives, it's not just Labor who's doing the bossing around as far as Mike's everyday life goes.
So I go out, here's my problem. I've got no control over my own life. But I go out the other day, and to be fair, it was to look at a car. And I think what happened there is that my wife and our youngest saw that as the golden opportunity to pay me back with words like, they didn't say it. It's the sort of the inference when you come back into the house, and the inference being, well, if you're just going to wander off and indulge in your own weird individual pursuits.
It's been about 5 minutes since you had a new car.
So exactly. Exactly. And so they're going to go, if that's the sort of life you want to lead, well, we're just going to get on and do our own thing. I think that was the underlying thing that wasn't said, but said oh so loudly. Because as I wandered back in, there was a door closed in a room, and I thought, why would that door be closed? And then I heard from behind the door and this was the only thing that made it appropriate and acceptable in any way, shape, or form, the Rod Stewart Christmas album. And the Rod Stewart Christmas album is the greatest Christmas album, followed very closely by Kenny and Dolly's. We Three Kings. If you've never heard Rod Stewart singing We Three Kings, you've got to get it. It is just, with Mary J. Blige, absolutely blow your mind good. Get you. Oh, here we go. See, I'm already in the mood.
We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we traverse afar.
Anyway, there's a point to this story.
No, I just want to listen to the music. So anyway, there it was.
That was a good trick.
It was coming back in, and there in what has now been deemed the Christmas room were all our decorations set up for another year.
Surely it's a grotto, isn't it?
Marley's insisting on calling it the Christmas room, but it could be a grotto. So whatever it was, on the 12th of November, a record for our house by So Far It Doesn't Matter, and I had wagged my finger at her in a Labour Party style, and I'd said, we do not put up the Christmas tree until December the 1st, because I know what's best for you. And she obviously took that, went straight to Mum and said, Mum, can we do this? And Mum said, well, Dad's out again looking at those damn cars, so let's do it. And so we've now got the Christmas room for months on end. And you know what? I think I might have changed my mind. I think as I wander home each day now to the smell of pine.
It is a bit actually like Labour and Winston and the Greens.
Exactly.
You've caved for baubles. Although in this case it's actual baubles.
And so I look at the baubles and I go, you know what? It's not so bad after all. That's what I've decided. Anyway.
So you really want that car, that's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I want. So the upside of it all is, if the car's under the tree for Christmas, then I'm happy, eh? Listen to this chorus, listen to this.
Star of night, star and royal, beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us through thy perfect light.
And the good news is, we'll be playing this song 23 times between now and when we leave you on the 21st of December. Isn't that exciting?
Very uncomfortable about this whole situation, because normally it's tradition on the Mike Hosking Breakfast that we don't play any Christmas music whatsoever until December 1, where we will start the show with Snoopy's Christmas. That is because a previous producer who is dead right now always requested that, and I don't want him to haunt me. So anyway, Grumpy, if you can hear me, wherever you are, don't haunt me, haunt Mike. He was the one who brought it up. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for Wednesday. We'll see you back here with more scary Christmas presents tomorrow.